Sean Patrick Maloney is a congressman from New York's 18th District. He's been in office since 2013. He works very hard, and inexplicably, he keeps coming back and talking to us. And for that, Sean, we want to thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so the first thing I want to ask you is about the judges and the travel ban. The judges have a very interesting point that they have been making, which is you not only have to look at what's in your law on your travel ban, but what you've said in your campaigns and what you've put out there and your history. And that's why we think it's anti-Muslim rather than the kind of bill you have put forward. What do you make of all that?
Well, I'm honestly surprised by it, but then again, I guess we shouldn't be surprised when someone spends a year saying they want a Muslim ban, and their staff says this is still the same old Muslim ban, we've just cleaned it up in ways that we think will pass muster, that judges will take a look at it and see behind it, you know, a religious animus that is unconstitutional. It is unconstitutional to favor one religion over another. That's called establishment of religion. That's the First Amendment to our Constitution. So these are pretty fundamental things. But here's what's frustrating. You know, if we're talking about keeping dangerous terrorist suspects out of the United States, you know, sign me up. Let's focus on that. I believe the problem is not with refugees, by the way. I believe the problem is with our visa waiver program. We got a lot of people coming in on visas that overstay, that can pose a threat to us. If you look at the refugee program, we actually put them through 2 years of rigorous interviews with all kinds of agencies, I think 13 federal agencies, and we've had almost no trouble ever from refugees that are resettled. They are the victims of terrorism, not the perpetrators of it. That distinction has been lost in this administration. So we ought to get off refugees. We ought to stop going after people because of their faith. We ought to stop trying to whip people up on this. And we ought to focus on what will really keep us safe, because that's what matters. I think you're seeing the courts, you know, feel like they have to exert themselves because the administration has been so unconstitutional in its rhetoric and in its aggressive and political approach to this. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, you know, we have real threats to our country and we need to take them seriously.
So we see Trump before a so-called campaign crowd the other night, and he's looking out at them and he's saying, you know, this new ban was just a watered down version of the old ban. And we know that the reason we had the new ban was because the other one didn't pass constitutional muster. So at the same time, they're arguing it's a different bill. He's saying, nope, it's the same bill. That's interesting, isn't it?
Well, right. And of course, we've got Rudy Giuliani saying he wanted a Muslim ban and just told us to do a Muslim ban that would kind of be legal, that would pass muster. But of course, that it isn't legal. It isn't constitutional. That's the fundamental stumbling block here, is that you have to go after terrorists, not Muslims. You have to go after people because of their actions and because of what they may do to hurt us, not what they believe, what their faith is. And we can't shortcut that, because it is deeply unfair to the millions of Muslims who are good people, who are American citizens, who have rights here as permanent residents. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater just because there are real threats to our security. We've been here before. This is why we draw the line on torture, even when the other side might do it. This is why we insist on having constitutional protections even during the Second World War, even during the Civil War. And we made big mistakes there with habeas corpus in one, with Japanese internment in the other. And we recognize that now. We have to fight for our values and our Constitution. After all, that is the force of our moral authority. And there's a way to do that. And a lot of us really want to work on fighting terrorism. No kidding. You know, keeping dangerous people out of the country, having better screening procedures in the visa program, making sure we use technology to enhance our efforts. I mean, there are many things we can do to keep us safe, and we should be focusing on those, not having this, you know, circus show of trying to whip people up on fear of some other religion, which is not right.
Let's go really quickly, because I love having you on the show and I love talking to you about this stuff, but it goes quick. So I guess the next thing I want to talk to you about is the Affordable Care Act.
Sure.
You know, when I was watching Trump the other night, Sean Patrick Maloney, when I was watching him the other night, he started to talk about the Muslim ban, and his crowd gave him a large hand. But when he talked about the Affordable Care Act, not so much. I think people are maybe getting the idea that, hey, this is their kids. This is a big problem for them.
Yeah, look, there are a lot of problems with the Affordable Care Act that we need to fix. Some of us came to Congress after it was passed and have been working across the aisle to try to make it work better. And there's lots of things we can do to make it work better. We should mend it, not end it. We should fix what's broken. What they have proposed doesn't make sense. You would throw 24 million people off their insurance, 14 million just next year. You would take $880 billion under the Republican proposal out of Medicaid. That blows a hole in the state budget of New York, by the way. So watch your property tax bill if we're going to provide for people on Medicaid. And by the way, that means people who are suffering from opioid addiction. That means anybody who's got a kid on the autism spectrum or a disability. I mean, Medicaid is a lifeline for people who have no other resort. But they do more than that. They cut billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of taxes on the very wealthy, and they take those dollars out of Medicare. They take those dollars out of things like Planned Parenthood. They eviscerate that organization that does good work. We should not undermine it. This is a terrible approach, and it does nothing. Its biggest sin is that it does nothing to fix what's wrong with the Affordable Care Act and to bring down the cost of health care and to make coverage more affordable for people, to lower deductibles, to lower the cost of prescription drugs, to make the markets where there aren't enough providers more competitive. I mean, those are the real problems. This bill cuts taxes on the rich and hurts good programs like Medicare, Medicaid, like Planned Parenthood. It's a terrible bill, and it doesn't fix the problem.
Let's go to the EPA, then. I know that you're a dedicated environmentalist, Sean Patrick Maloney. A huge, huge, huge cut in the EPA. I think leaving all of us and our grandchildren and others at risk. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And we need to remember that there are some core functions at the EPA that are really important. And I say that as someone who listens to farmers and takes seriously the complaints they have about getting hassled, about how they use water on their farm. There's a lot of regulations and red tape that we could streamline. I mean, I get that people have problems with the federal government and the bureaucracy masquerading as environmentalism, and we should be serious about streamlining it. But let me tell you what, I've spent a good part of the last few years working on clean water, whether it's the Superfund site in Hopewell Junction, which we are finally getting cleaned up with EPA Superfund dollars. If they take that money away, those people are not going to ever have a fix to a terrible problem affecting hundreds of families. I'm trying to get PCBs out of the Hudson River once and for all after decades of having a polluted river. You know, the Hudson is a miracle, and it underpins so much of our economic growth and tourism and our way of life. It would have been great if we didn't put those PCBs in the river in the first place. That's why we have core environmental regulation. And by the way, clean drinking water is an issue in hundreds of communities, from Hoosick Falls to Newburgh, New York, where these compounds called PFCs, PFOAs, PFOSs have gotten into municipal drinking water supplies. You know, I want the EPA to test communities under 10,000. I want to test those water supplies to make sure they're safe. I want to make sure that we have better science on that at the federal level so we know the safe level in human blood. This is why we have the EPA, so that the water's clean to drink, so that we get the Hudson cleaned up once and for all, so that orphaned, aging Superfund sites don't forever hold back communities like Hopewell Junction and the town of East Fishkill. And so that's what I'm fighting to preserve, and these cuts would threaten all of that, and they are unnecessary. They are ideologically driven. You can fix what's wrong with EPA without hurting the core functions.
It's always great to talk to our friend Sean Patrick Maloney, a congressman from New York's 18th district. He's been in office since 2018. And you are, Sean, I want to thank you for it, a faithful correspondent with us. We so appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.